Hey, college basketball fans, it's time for the Valley Hoops Insider Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Terry Schrader, and I am privileged to write and talk about the Missouri Valley and Ohio Valley basketball conferences. We talk to players, coaches, media members, yep, and the fans about the Valley and the OVC. Stick around. We have a great show for you today. The Valley Hoops Insider Radio Show and Podcast wants you to know about our friend Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet. A great salesman with great products, that's Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet. The One Puede Project is a missions organization helping special needs and terminally ill children in West Africa, and you should join the Upside app. You'll get cash back on gas, groceries, and a whole lot more. Use the invite code HARRY5474. Welcome back to the Valley Hoops Insider website and podcast. I'm Harry Schrader, glad to be with you today, and we're joined by the basketball coach at the Belmont University. The Bruins come into St. Louis for Arch Madness on Thursday. Their first game will be against the Valparaiso Beacons, and we welcome their head coach, Casey Alexander, to the podcast. Casey, thanks for joining us today, and you and I were talking before we started recording. I'm going to just, you know, pull back the curtain. You're a Cub fan.
That's right. Yeah, big-time Cubs fan. Like a lot of people, you know, my age, you had TBS and WGN, and I was home all summer, so I might as well be a Cubs fan. That's how it started for me at a young age.
Well, good for you. Stay true. Stay true. The hey, thanks for doing this. And I want to ask you a couple of questions about the Valley in general and then your team in particular. Second season through the Valley, you know, you've been very vocal about your program having to learn how to adjust to the difference in the league, more physical and so forth. Tell me about, you're at the end here of the second season. How do you feel like that progression, that transition is going?
Yeah, I think it's going very well. You know, maybe not in wins and losses. I'd like to have a few more wins, but we certainly have a much better understanding of what the league is like, and, you know, and from officiating to style of play to offenses, defenses, you know, you name it, we're much more comfortable at this stage of the game, having been in it for two seasons. You know, last year, the first season felt like, you know, I mean, truly felt like every game, at least the first half of conference play, was a non-conference game. You know, I mean, that's a bizarre scenario when your first 20 or so games of the season are new opponents, basically, and you're doing everything for the first time.
And so when you think about that first season and then transitioning to this one, what biggest lesson, like, for your players, like, how did they have to adjust?
You know, they didn't know quite as much, honestly. Like a lot of teams, we have so many new guys, you know, that they weren't comparing it to the OVC. A lot of those guys weren't, because we've lost, I guess 2 years ago, going into the Missouri Valley, we lost 5 fifth-year seniors and two or three other guys that transferred out. So we had, you know, largely had a new roster. We just, as a staff, weren't able to prepare them for what life was going to be like, because we didn't know ourselves. That was the biggest difference. But, you know, now we've got more guys that have a year under their belt. This is their second season, or at least for the new players, you know, we could reference things with some level of credibility, you know, that, when we talked about the league and what to expect.
Those fifth-year guys could have come back as sixth-year guys, and they might have weathered that storm a little differently.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, that's, you know, it's you just walk into it with the guys you have and do the best you can, whether they're first year, fifth year, sixth year, it doesn't matter. You have who you have, and so go make the most of it.
Arch Madness last year, you guys played a thrilling game against Indiana State, but talk about your experience and how that prepares you for this week.
Yeah, it was a great game, Indiana State. Obviously, we've seen what they've, you know, what they were then and what they've turned into. So it was too short of a stay, but it was an incredible game. And we loved everything about, you know, Arch Madness, everything that we had heard about it. It even exceeded our expectations, from just environment, fan bases, the way that the tournament was run, really a first-class event put on by the Valley staff. And so we're hoping to stick around a little bit longer this time around. You know, we like our team. We feel like we can win some games. We think that, you know, we'll be, as we've already discussed, we'll just be a little bit more prepared, having had several guys that played there last year.
Sustained excellence at Belmont. I mean, for those many years under Rick Burr, just win, conference championships, 20-plus wins. You've gone there, haven't skipped a beat. The secret maybe is the wrong word, but what are the elements that go into sustaining high productivity excellence that has gone on at Belmont?
Yeah, I do think that winning begets winning. I think that, you know, getting over, learning how to win is very difficult. I experienced that when I left Belmont to go be a head coach for the first time at Stetson. I experienced that when I went from Stetson to Lipscomb. You know, you're trying to establish who you are, so forth and so on. But Belmont's had the great fortune of knowing who we are, and a lot of continuity through the years in both coaching staff and players on the team. But until COVID, and really even until just the last year, we had only lost two players to transfer in 17 seasons, which is absolutely unheard of. And we still have lost very few undergrads to transfer, even during during the portal era. And so that's been the main thing. You know, we just had guys that have been here for 4 and 5 seasons. We've had very little turnover. Really the only two times in the last 30 years that we've had significant changes on our coaching staff is when I left to go to Stetson, there were a couple of guys that changed. And when I came back, there were a couple of guys that changed. But even then, there's a lot of continuity with the staff, and I think that's been the key.
Talk about maybe one or two, there's probably 100, but lessons or influences that you captured from Rick Bird?
Yeah, primarily, I've said this many times, I mean, what I admire the most and believe in him the most for, or celebrate him the most for, is he just unwavering belief and commitment to running this program the way that he thought it should be run. And he was very intentional about representing this university well. He wanted to have the right kind of people in the program, the right kind of players. You know, Belmont's had more academic All-Americans since we've been Division I than any other team in the country by almost double.
Wow.
Along with all the championships. And so, you know, when we first made the move, there was actually a coach in our league in the A-Sun at the time. He said, hey, you know, you're not going to be able to do this the way that you've been doing it. You're going to have to branch out in recruiting. You're going to have to play a different style, things like that. But we certainly never played. I was a player here in the early 90s, NAIA days. And I mean, I can attest to the fact that our team today and the kind of families we have in our program, the kind of people we have in our program, it is as remarkably similar as to the teammates I had in the early 90s. They're all better. The players are better. but it's the same program run the same way.
Was it important, Casey, for you to go away and come back, go away, learn, you know, how to be a head coach and then come back versus just kind of coming up through the ranks had you stayed there?
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think I was fortunate that it happened that way. I mean, you can't script those scenarios. I didn't, you know, there were a few times where I thought Coach Bird might leave or retire, but he didn't, you know, and so it was just necessary at the time. You know, I was kind of way past my threshold of patience, you know, unfair to him. He could have stayed here forever, but I. You know, I thought I could be a head coach when I was about 15 years old. I was pretty stupid at the time, but so I needed to leave. You know, and as it turns out, I wouldn't have done it any other way. I mean, I think I was very fortunate to be a head coach elsewhere for 8 seasons before I came back to Belmont. I think if I had, you know, if this program had been handed to me on the heels of his retirement without me coaching anywhere else, it would have been easier in some degree for me personally, but I think a much tougher challenge having never been a head coach.
You guys are playing your best basketball right now, apparently 7 out of the last 8. What has changed besides just the health of Jacoby Gillespie?
Well, I think that's the biggest factor. I think, you know, there's always more that goes into winning and losing than a single player. You know, I think our conference schedule was, you know, if you look at the numbers, it was front heavy. The first half, first 10, 12 games of our schedule was much more difficult than the back end. So I think getting Jacoby back and healthy, winning a couple of games, and then just having a little bit more of a favorable schedule, not that any of them are easy, has played into that. And then, you know, just the whole psychology of winning and losing. I mean, it's just easier to show up and have confidence and play well when you're winning. And, and it's increasingly more difficult to show up and have confidence and play well when you're losing.
That's 7 of 8, gets you to 19 wins, and Greg Sage is always great about putting out things. You guys have won 19 games at least, 18 straight seasons, 20 or more, I think, in 13 straight seasons. That sustained excellence is something really worth, you know, bragging about and celebrating. And you talked about getting the right kind of players, the right, you know, maybe personalities and so forth. And your core is a group of sophomores. We talked about Jacoby, but Cade Tyson's been pretty good for his first 2 years of college, and you guys picking up Malik Dia in the offseason. Talk about that sophomore core, and do they view themselves like that, or is it just one big team?
Well, I don't know how they view themselves, honestly. They view themselves as the only ones that matter, probably, you know? Individually. That's probably how they view themselves. But they've handled it all well, and we've certainly never had any animosity or selfishness or anything like that that we've had to deal with. I think any competitor wants to be the best player, whether there's four or five guys fighting for that title or two. And so we're just lucky that we have all three of them, and they're such complementary pieces to each other. I think that's what's so unique about it is, you know, Jacoby's a guard that makes a lot happen on both ends of the floor, and Cade's a big wing that is as good of a shooter as there is in the country, and his percentages would indicate that. And then Malik is a kind of a unique big that can play all over the floor, make shots, drive it, score it inside. So it's nice to have kind of three different guys playing those three spots, and all three have had tremendous seasons.
If there wasn't a guy named Avila at Indiana State, everybody would be talking about the unique skill set of Malik Dia, wouldn't they? I mean, they're similar guys in that they can do a lot of things that most bigs cannot.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and Robbie deserves any attention or acclaim that he receives. He deserves it. He's had an unbelievable year, really fun guy to watch play, really unique IQ and just feel for the game. And Malik is kind of same but different. I mean, we use him differently, but Malik loves the game. He studies the game. He's very well in tune with what's going on around him. You know, he's a little bit more, I would say, raw talent and bull in a china shop. Robbie's a lot more you know, skill and finesse, IQ kind of player. Not to indicate that Malik doesn't have a good basketball IQ, because he definitely does. But they're different, same but different.
Are you in the market for a new car? I was, and I ended up at Don Brown Chevrolet here in St. Louis. Don Brown is famous for saying they are on King's Highway at the entrance to the hill, and I went to Don Brown Chevrolet, and salesman Ben Yates answered all my questions. He went the extra mile and helped me understand what the process was like, and then he got me perfectly situated in my brand new Chevrolet Trailblazer. I hate buying cars. I hate all the back and forth. And Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet took all the manipulation out of it, helped me find the car I wanted and really that I needed. If you're looking for a new car, go to Don Brown Chevrolet, but not just to that great dealership. Call 314-474-0270 and ask for my new friend, Ben Yates. There's a picture of Ben and me and my brand new car on our website, valleyhoopsinsider.com. Low pressure, great service, helpful to a fault. Let Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet know you heard about it from me, Harry Schrader, at valleyhoopsinsider.com.
How have Cade and Jacoby grown this year? You mentioned the other day that Cade has become a better defender and some other things, but how have they grown both as players and people?
Yeah, they've both grown just, you know, just literally growing up. You know, I mean, Cade's a pretty quiet guy by nature, pretty serious guy by nature is probably a better way to describe him. And Jacoby is a quiet guy by nature. So neither are super talkative and that kind of leader where they're out front and it's kind of obvious that they're in that role. But they've grown a lot individually, as most kids do when they go from freshman to sophomore, just more comfortable in their own skin, you know, doing well, being away from home, immerse themselves into the team and the community and everything else. So those are some pretty significant, you know, off the floor growth margins for each of those guys. You know, on the floor, they're just, you know, they work really hard. It is very important to them, and they've, you know, Jacoby couldn't make a three to start the season last year. He started out, gosh, I don't know, it was awful, but any kind of he worked his way into a reasonable percentage. But this year he's just been, you know, fantastic. Not necessarily from three, but fantastic from start to finish. And Cade's never had that dip from his first game as a Belmont player until today. He's been incredibly consistent.
Yeah, first game of his career, he hits a game winner to win, scores 18 and hits a game winner in his first game as a college basketball player. You guys are playing Valparaiso on Thursday. What about the Beacons? What do you, you know, what are keys for that game for you guys?
Well, you know, I would love to see us get off to a good start again. We've played them twice. Both games, they called timeout within the first minute and a half because we had a 9-0 lead. We made we were 3-for-3 from three in both games. And that's, you know, I'm not anticipating that or expecting that. But I do think psychologically that would be good for us and bad for them if we could get off to a good start over the first, you know, first couple of media timeouts. But you know, every game stands alone. I've got great respect for their level of play throughout the season. The wins don't add up the way that you would want them to, or the way that they think that they would want them to. But they've been very competitive. I've never seen for a second a lack of effort, intensity, desire to get better. You know, in their play throughout conference play is, you know, has shown that consistently, including their last game out, which they, you know, where they swept Illinois State at home on Senior Day.
Cooper Schwieger will likely be the freshman of the year. I don't think they've announced that just yet, but he will likely be the freshman of the year. What do you see in him, and how will you defend him? Who will have that job?
Yeah, it's hard. Defending him is really hard. I mean, I applaud him in the year that he's had. He has been exceptional. I mean, it is it's very rare for a guy with that kind of size to come in and make an impact as a true freshman the way that he has. And he's been very efficient throughout the season. You know, he's difficult to guard because he's so multidimensional and versatile on the offensive end. I mean, he's a very, very consistently good three-point shooter, but he's got great touch inside and just has a knack for scoring in there. He's, you know, it's not like you can just take him out of the game. So it's a comprehensive cover if you're going to limit him, you know, but it's again, I'm really impressed with what he's done. I mean, I think his last game out was his season high, which is also his career high, clearly.
Yeah, at 28, I think, Sunday. Boy, how can I ask you this question? What makes a guy tick? I want to go back to Cade for just a minute. He does seem to love the big moments. Do I read that correctly?
Yeah, you definitely do. And I think it's a measure of, you know, whatever the old, you know, 10,000 hours of work or whatever to perfect something. He's put in the time. You know, I think he's demonstrated the ability to deliver, but he knows that he's put in the work and he's prepared himself for the moment at hand. And, that's just what he is and who he is. I mean, he's in the gym as much as anybody we have. And he always has been since he got here. So, I applaud him for kind of that consistent work ethic. And he's been a great leader for the rest of our team because of that. You know, they see him in the gym working to get better all the time.
The One Play Day project is near and dear to my heart. Parts of West Africa are extremely poor, and birth defects and malnutrition are rampant in those impoverished countries. The When Play Day project is there to help with medical treatment, surgeries, medicines, and therapy. Well, really, whatever those children need. If you'd like to help, head to sheltering-wings.org. You'll see someone with my last name on there, and you can lend a hand to terminally ill children in West Africa. That's sheltering-wings.org. I'm a big fan of the Upside app. I'm making cash back every time I use the Upside app for gas, groceries, my favorite fast food place, and other restaurants. Go to the Upside app and type in the invite code HARRY5474, and you can make a little extra to help out your bottom line. It's the Upside app with the invite code HARRY5474.
I want you to get a little philosophical with me for just a minute before I let you go. Where do you see the Missouri Valley? I think the conference was better this year and all the different metrics and all of that than the league was a year ago. But there's a constant battle, isn't there, with the conferences above and below and Where do you see this league, its trajectory, maybe, is my question.
Yeah, I see, you know, it's, I do think that, you know, last year was a little bit of an anomaly as far as, you know, I think we finished maybe 15th in the league, I mean, in the country, as far as, you know, conference rankings and things like that. And we're back up in that customary 9th, 10th range this year. So I think it's more where it belongs and where it was. And I think the biggest reason for that is the strength of the middle third and maybe the bottom third of the league is a lot better this year than it was last year, us included. We finished 5th this year and 4th last year, but I think we're a better team. And I think a lot of teams below us would say that as well. So as for the future, I mean, golly, who knows? How do you know those things, right, Harry? You know,
yeah.
But, you know, I think what's really impressive and says a lot about the coaches in this league and the programs that are in this league is you look at the guys that would have been all conference returning players that left,
mm-hmm.
And the guys that had to be replaced. We didn't lose those kinds of guys, but we lost a first round NBA draft pick, you know, and everybody has found a way to be really good and be better than we were last year, even despite, you know, the loss of the Crickies and the Mass and the Damask and the Joneses and the Carters and those guys and Shepherds, and, you know, we found a way to do it. So you don't get there by accident. That strengths to the strength of this league and quality of its coaches and the quality of the programs that you can bounce back from those kinds of losses. We need to keep those guys though if we want to keep getting better.
Yeah, in this portal NIL world, there's a gigantic challenge for all of those things, isn't there? And I wonder if you can even speak to what's the NIL world look like there in Nashville for the Belmont program.
Yeah, man. The best way for me to answer that, you know, of course we've all had this on our minds a lot is, you know, for all coaches at all levels, you know, our main priority has always been the players and to give our players a great experience, but it's never been more important than it is now to create that kind of scenario where, you know, where your players feel a real connection to each other and to the staff and to the program. And we're lucky here that, you know, it's, you know, if people don't like Nashville or our campus or our facilities or whatever, they, you know, then I can't do anything about that because we've got great stuff here to keep them. And we've won a lot of games, you know, so you just have to do everything you can to put yourself in position like we did with Ben Shepherd a couple of years ago, you know, to get those guys to stay, you know, and we use things like that. You know, Dylan Windler and Ben Shepherd were 4-year players at Belmont, both first round draft picks within a 5-year period. And, you know, and they had chances to play at a lot of places. And they might not have got the short-term monetary reward, but they sure got a long-term monetary reward for being in a great program and excelling while they were here at Belmont.
It is amazing what you guys have been able to do. When I think about both you and Murray State sending so many different guys to the NBA out of what you would call lower conferences and now in this conference as well, that's quite a statement about the kind of programs historically those two schools have built.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You look at John Morant with Murray. He's one of the best players in the NBA, clearly. And then, you know, but they've had Isaiah Cannon and left-handed guard, whatever his name was, still playing. He's been gone for a while. He's from Lausanne High School in Memphis. I just can't remember what his name was a couple years ago. But they and even more so. I mean, Murray goes way way back. You know, they've had all kinds of Popeye Jones and yep. A bunch of great players through the years. And you know, Belmont's relatively new to that. A lot of people forget that Belmont, we've only been Division I in a conference for barely over 20 seasons, you know, and been to the NCAA tournament 8 or 9 of those 20. So, you know, we've done a lot in a short period of time. You know, it's pretty amazing to think about, you know, in the next 20 years what Belmont can do, which is the reason why we made the move to the Valley.
Now, I know that Coach Bird and my friend Drew Hanlon were good friends. Do you know Drew very well?
Of course, I recruited you, Drew. I remember when he called me and committed to Belmont while he was on an official visit to another school. So we've got a love-hate relationship. You know, we love each other, but I hate the Cardinals. And so, you know, we struggle a little bit.
a lot of people have a love-hate relationship with Drew. So that's okay.
Hanlon meets in exactly. St. Louis. His dad just retired this past year, but he had a long history in St. Louis. Webster Groves High School, little Jay Blossom.
Yeah.
Coach.
Well, listen to you knocking all the knowledge out there. That's awesome. Hey, I appreciate your time. Wish you the best of the luck this week here in St. Louis. And when you guys, final thought, let's say you win a couple games but don't win the tournament, and one of those postseason tournament people call, is that a decision that's hard to make, like, yeah, we're going to go do it, or no, we're not, based on whatever kind of factors?
Yeah, we'll have the opportunity. I'm confident that that opportunity already exists for us, but no decisions have been made. We haven't chose to take on that responsibility and play in those tournaments in the past. It's kind of a case-by-case basis, but you know, and obviously at this point in time, we're hoping we don't have that decision to make.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate your time. Wish you the best. We'll see you when you get to St. Louis.
Thanks a lot, Harry. Thanks for having me today.
Really enjoyed it. That's Casey Alexander, the head basketball coach at Belmont University. The Bruins play at 2:30 Thursday against Valparaiso. We'll have it on the Big 550 KTRS that day. Appreciate your time today. Remember, since you've been there, make it a better place. We'll see you again real soon. Thanks for listening to the Valley Hoops Insider radio show and podcast. Don't forget to visit our friend Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet. He's a great salesman with great products. That's Ben Yates at Don Brown Chevrolet. The 1.8 Project, it's a missions organization. They're helping special needs and terminally ill children in West Africa. And you should join the Upside app I have, and you'll get cash back on gas, groceries, and a whole lot more. Use the invite code Harry 5474. Thanks for listening, and remember, since you've been there, make it a better place. We'll see you again.